Okay. Listen to me close. I'm not putting down anybody's church. I'm not putting down a lot of things that you may think I'm putting down, but I'm going to speak truth to you. And what you do with that truth is totally up to you. This church will not get you to heaven. This church can point you the way to heaven. There is no man who has truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. When we have Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit and we have a relationship with the Father, we have truth. Therefore, when man goes against the Word of God, don't pay attention to him. Unless you're coming here and it's me, then find a church that's preaching truth. The Church of Jesus Christ, for some reason, needs a superstar. They need someone to follow. They need some TV personality. They need some pastor that's so fabulous and great, and I'm not him. Instead of listening to what God has to say, and you have the Word of God in your hand anytime you want it. So I'm going to go over some things with you that you may not have thought about for a while, and we're going to be very dogmatic. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But I'm not going to apologize for the Word of God. I'm not preaching this to be mean. I'm preaching this to get people's attention in this church and people's attention that listen to this on the radio so that we know we're not guessing, we're not thinking, we're not hoping. We know where our relationship with God is and the only way to go to heaven. Listen to me. Any church, any person who adds tradition or their doctrine or something else to the Word of God, they're deceiving you and they're lying to you. You never make tradition and doctrines of churches equal with the Word of God. If you do that, they're taking away or they're adding to it. Pay attention to me. If you get deceived, it's your own fault. Because you're looking for something beyond what God is teaching you, and you're going the wrong direction. You stay in the Word of God. You walk in the Word of God. You live the Word of God. You're led by the Spirit. The other morning, I got on my knees here, and all of a sudden, overwhelmed with a feeling, an absolute feeling, something's wrong in Dwight. And I just started going through things that I thought. Then suddenly the Holy Spirit said, here's the problem. And I said, okay. Now my problem may not be your problem. And the Holy Spirit never told me you lost out with God, you're a reject, you're this. But how many of us have lost focus? How many of us are not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame? How many of us are looking to what man says? I'm going to go another step. If you're saying God told me and God didn't, we're lying. It's so easy today's age to say, well, God told me this. Are you sure? I'm going to tell you if you know God told you. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not from God. Hear me. I want you to understand something. Don't make yourself back into a corner and because you believe something that's not scriptural and say, God told me. No. If it's not scriptural, God did not tell you. If man told you and said that God told you, and it's not in here, it's a lie. Hello, I don't care if they're on TV. I don't care if they pastor the biggest church. I don't care if it's Dwight Fearing. If I say God told me something and it doesn't line up here, reject it. You don't have to reject me. Maybe you've already done that. We need integrity from the Word of God, and integrity in what we believe, and integrity in what we say. Are we okay? I'm going to tell you. You know it, but are you still believing it? There's only one way to get to heaven. Only one way. Now listen to me. God doesn't play games. You may be thinking you're okay, but you're not the critic in that. You're not the one that makes that decision. God makes a decision when you're okay with Him, and we're only okay with Him when we're okay with Him through the Word, and the Word of God is working in us. The Bible says that we're clean through the Word. Paul was talking that some of you were adulterers, and some of you were drunkards, and some of you were fornicators, and some of you were this, and some of you are that. But he said, but we are washed and we are cleansed by the washing of the Word. Listen to me. When you don't pick up your Bible, when you leave it on the shelf, when you don't get in the Word of God, even on your computer, I got the Bible on one page that I got from Loretta. I can plug in any book in any chapter I want and read it. If I'm not doing that, I'm not being cleansed by the Word of God. My sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. My mind is cleansed through the Word of God. It's amazing. I find myself having difficulties. I find myself having wrong thoughts. I find myself getting my feelings hurt or getting frustrated. I know you people never have this happen. Getting hurt, getting beat up. And where do I go? Well, I go to my little chair and take a nap. It's not the answer. When your mind and you're having problems and you're having situations, get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God cleanse and give you focus and bring you perspective. And you're walking in the Word. You're living the Word. You're a walking Bible. Don't let that just be Jack Van Impe. Get to know the Word of God. You know, I didn't walk around for 2 years with a Bible on my head, and by the process of osmosis, got to know some verses. But you don't know, the only verses I quote to you are the ones I know. I told Max that this morning. That's really, really a sharp statement. Took me all night to think that one up. We don't grow, this is all the introduction. We don't grow because we don't do spiritual things in spiritual ways. We don't come to a place and we don't grow because we choose not to. If you're in the Word of God and you're in prayer and you're being led by the Holy Spirit, there's no way that you won't grow. You will grow. When we get careless and more involved in everything else but God's Word, our growth is stymied. And so when we want to grow, when you choose to grow, when you desire to become more like Christ, you will. Listen to me. The devil can't stop you. And Flip Wilson's, that the devil didn't make me do it, stop me from doing it, doesn't work. And so we come to a place where I'm just going to look at the words that Jesus spoke before he went to heaven. I want you to understand this. How many raise a hand with me and say, Pastor? Pastor? Feed us. I'm ready to pay attention. I'm ready to listen to the Word of God. I choose to grow. I don't want to be spiritually immature. I want to know the truth because I know through the truth who is Jesus Christ, I will become like Him. I'm sick and tired of having the resemblance of the world instead of the resemblance and the character of Jesus Christ. I no longer choose to be a yo-yo. But I'm going to walk consistently in the Word of God, led by the Holy Spirit, pleasing Jesus, and ready at a heartbeat to step into eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Some of my message this morning was picking up a magazine, reading about some churches in our nation that used to run 10 or 12,000 people and now are on auctions. Pastors going into universal religion, that means no matter what you do and how you live and who you know and what you believe, you're going to heaven. Pastors deciding that they can carry on with people in their congregation in illicit manners. There are major, major church problems in America, and God is putting eviction notices on some doors. I don't want it on this one. This church has never been and never will be about me. This church is about Jesus Christ, and if it's not, please go somewhere else, because I don't want to lead anyone to hell. This message is burning in my heart like a fervent spirit this morning, and I just want to tell you what God's telling me. I'm trying not to be a baby, but it breaks my heart at times, and yet there's joy in it. In chapter 24 and verse 45 of Luke, it says, and he, meaning Jesus, this was after the resurrection now, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. I received a call this morning from a gentleman who was at the funeral a couple weeks ago. And he said, Pastor, I just wanted you to know that there's a man living in Britain that was absolutely amazed by the message. He goes to a different church, a church that normally you don't associate with salvation. But he looked and he said, that was the message. That was the message. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we preach, because that's what Loretta wanted us to preach. The disciples had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. I never thought of this until recently. They had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had seen him raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils, calm the storm, walk on water, get into arguments with the Pharisees and the chief priests and the Sadducees. They had seen his heart broken as he wept over Jerusalem. They had heard him say over and over and over again, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to rise on the third day. They heard it over and over and over again. Now listen to me. But after the resurrection, Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand what he'd been teaching them. I want you to think. After 3.5 years of being with him, not believing he was going to die, when he did die, they didn't believe he was going to rise. They went and hid somewhere. And so before he departs for heaven, he gets them together and he opens their understanding. Why? Because the God of this world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, has blinded their minds that they won't receive the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Are we seeing openly this morning? Are we understanding what's being preached? Do we sit in church and not get it? Or do we receive from the Word of God what God is telling us? Do we understand? Do we have spiritual understanding? I don't want you sitting in this place for 3.5 years or 3.5 minutes and not understanding that this church and this life and your life must be about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cannot be relegated back to something that's or someone that's not the head. How many of you ever chopped off the head of a chicken? What happens when they lose their head? Pretty entertaining for a while.
They can't see.
They can't see. Can you?
Oh, yeah.
They can't see. Their eyes are one direction and their body's the other. They're just flopping around. I remember Jerry Benson and I one day, we killed about 40 chickens. We chopped their heads off, and I mean, what a bloody mess, but we won't go there. Now look at that and make a picture. What is the body of Christ if we have no head? We're just out going through the motions. We're out just doing this and going here and doing that. If we're not attached to the head, Christ is the head. Only head. We're not a two-headed monster. It's not Christ and COC. It's not Christ and pastor. It's not Christ and this one. It's one head. And your head, the head, makes a decision about the body. And when the body's making the decision, all it is spasmodic. Nothing's happening. It's not blessed by God. It's not anointed by God. It's not coming to a place where it's all about God. It becomes all about the body. Their eyes were blinded, friends. The disciples' eyes were blinded. So don't look at me and say, well, that can't happen to me. Don't look at me and say, well, I'm better than that. No, you're not. You have revelation only by one way, and that's through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's not revelation. A lot of it's delusion. And so we come to a place where the disciples just didn't understand. Now, here's the basic point of the message. He said, it was necessary that I die. It was necessary that I rise from the dead. It's not Easter Sunday, but listen to me. Without the resurrection, first of all, without the suffering, and without the death, and without the resurrection, we are lost and without hope, the Bible says, in this world. There's no hope. We're going through the motions of life, and we're going through the motions of thinking we're alive, and we're going through the motions of doing things, but Paul says we're without hope. There's no hope. That the gospel of Jesus Christ should be preached. Why should it be preached? Because without Jesus Christ, without having a relationship with Jesus Christ, without coming to God, you and I and everybody else in this world that doesn't know him are lost. Everyone. And I've been to too many funerals where I'll walk up and talk to somebody and I hear these words, well, we hope they're in heaven. It's too late. Well, we hope they receive Christ. Maybe too late. We don't have to hope. We can know. But it's not knowing through some other person except through the person of Jesus Christ. Go to Acts with me, chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse number 7. We okay? I'm not trying to beat you up. I want to bring some logic spiritually to this place where we totally, absolutely, radically, unequivocally understand what God is about. And we don't get on a downhill slide away from God thinking we're okay. Verse 7 says, "And when they had set them in the midst, the disciples, for healing the lame man." Did you ever get in trouble for doing good? "They asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, and by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucify, who God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone.'" Now listen to this. How many believe the Bible is true? How many are going to stand up and say, "I don't believe the Bible"? "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No other way, friends. No other avenue, no other path. One way. Don't forget it. Don't buy into any other doctrine. Don't accept what anybody else preaches. Don't accept when they say it's not him, it's him. Him and him alone. And that's where churches separate, because salvation is in faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, not adding anything else to it. And we need to understand that. Sounds dogmatic. You may say, "I can't accept it." You will one day. You will one day. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Read Philippians chapter 2. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Look at me. Every one of you. One place or the other. Either when you bow before Christ and receive your rewards, or when you stand before the great white throne judgment and be doomed to the lake of fire for eternity, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's not going to ask you what church you went to. Not going to ask you how much money you gave. He's going to ask you this. Did you receive my son? And if you're at the great white throne judgment, he doesn't have to ask you a thing because you know already you didn't. Every knee, every tongue. Every knee, every tongue. Listen to me. If you choose to go to hell yourself, don't take your children with you. Give your children a chance. Tell them they need Jesus. I'm serious, friends. This is no laughing matter where all my friends will be there. I'll go to hell and I'm going to do this in hell and I'm going to do that in hell. There's one thing you're going to do in hell and that's suffer. Period. We need to understand that. People make jokes about it. People laugh about it. People make fun about it. People talk about it. They tell you to go to hell over and over and over again, and they don't realize they're going with you. One way. One name. The hope of the whole world, the hope of America, the hope of every single person breathing is Jesus Christ. And no matter what your bank account says, and no matter what's happening in your life, no matter how good you feel about yourself, and no matter what your self-esteem is, and no matter what kind of job you got, and no matter what you're doing when you go home today, and no matter what your plans are, without Jesus Christ, you're hopeless. And if you're not living for Him, you're in deep trouble. Because things may not get better. I don't live in fear of it. I live in the calm and the peace of Jesus Christ. He loves me. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 8. How many come in contact with a demon lately? How many have been tormented lately? How many of your family are out getting drunk and just overcome with alcohol or drugs or gossip or conditions that aren't good, and you're coming to a place where, what's the matter? What's the problem? I tell you. There are people in this town and people in your family and people that you associate with, they're demonized. Hi, Melvin. I'm not going to embarrass you too much. If Melvin had a demon, wouldn't it be great to try to counsel it? You got a demon, brother? Can I talk to that demon and just counsel him? He doesn't, but I'm just saying that. So somebody has a demon, or they have an unusual behavior, they have some habits, they have some problems. So the churches send them to counselors. Hello? Have you looked at your hands lately? Haven't done this for a while. Take a peek. Ask yourself this question. How many hands have you laid on people? How many demons you cast out? How many sick people you healed? How many suffering people have you ministered to? I'm not trying to be hard. Please see what I'm saying. We're using natural means to deal with supernatural beings, and it doesn't work. You may give people pills, you may give people this, you may give people that. They'll say, give me another drink, give me another drug, give me this, give me something else. Give them Jesus. Philip went down to Samaria, the Bible tells us, and preached Christ. Listen what happened. Chapter 8, verse number 5. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Very interesting, he went to Samaria because they weren't accepted. They were ostracized. They were cast out. The Samaritans are the ones that John and James and John wanted to cast down fire on. Remember? Jesus said, you didn't know what spirit you're of. They wouldn't accept Jesus, so they said, shall we call down fire like Elijah did? Yeah? And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame was healed. And there was great joy in the city. I hear people talking about their anointing. Listen to me. It's never your anointing. It's never my anointing. It's always His anointing, and it's always the Holy Spirit. But we can have that. Every single one of you can be so filled with the Holy Spirit that when you walk the streets, demons don't want to be on the same side of the street as you. Don't co-inhabit with a demon. Don't come to a place where we just accept that people, that this is right, that this is normal, that this is something else. I went to the Dairy Queen last night and I met a young man there that used to come to church here. And he'd been looked to me like he was tipping something besides ice cream. And he said, "Well, I'm going to come back to church." And I said, "Sure you are." Look at me. Don't give God the leftovers. Don't give God when all you're wrung out and wore out and have no more energy and have no more life and say, "Well, when I'm just on my deathbed, I'm going to come to Jesus." You can do that. But if it's good enough when you're dying, why isn't it good enough when you're living? Amen? I want to give Him everything now. I don't do it well. I've used the excuse, "Well, I'm just human." No, I'm just carnal. There's a life that is so worth the living and so worth the giving. And the end of that is amazing. And all God says is, "Come to me. Don't run from me. Don't do your own thing. Don't live your own life. Don't wait. I'll bless you now. I'll take your sins now. I'll give you life now. I'll work with you now." Look at me. Some of you would be dead if it wasn't for Jesus. Some of you wouldn't be here. How deep we want to go. Can I take you one more level down and then we'll go up? Don't use God. God will let you use Him at times. How many know God knows everything? But how many people, I'm not talking to you, no, I'm talking about everybody that's not here. How many people have needed something from God, and "God, if you'll just do this for me, I'll do this for you." You got what you wanted, and then you forgot about Him. Don't play, "Let's make a deal." Don't play, "Let's make a deal." Because if it's not God's deal, it's no deal. There's amazing life in Jesus Christ, and I'm done, almost. There's amazing life. What are you going to do about it? Acts chapter 1 is the last little thing we're going to. Acts chapter 1. Verse number 8. J- Jesus is speaking, and he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, they watched. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. There's a rapture right there. Christ was raptured. Elijah was raptured. Enoch was raptured. There's many raptures, but there's one big one coming. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Nobody knows when. I've heard people say, well, this is when it's going to happen, and this is how it's going to happen, and this is what's going to happen afterwards, and this is what's going to happen before. I'm ready to accept the fact it's going to happen. When? That's up to God. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to happen. There's going to be a rapture, there's going to be a tribulation period, there's going to be a second coming, and there's going to be a final judgment, and you put them in your timetable. Are we okay with that? It's going to happen. I have my ideas, you have your ideas. If you want to talk to me about my ideas, I'm going to share mine, but I won't listen to yours. Don't confuse me with anything you think is factual. But it's going to happen. I know and I believe it's going to happen before his second coming, because we're going to be in heaven for a while. And there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Bible says Christ is going to come back, all the saints with him. Now look at me. Whenever that is, and whenever that happens, I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to miss it. This world is being shaken and torn. It's not going to fall apart yet. The Bible says that this world in 2 Peter chapter 3 is going to be destroyed by fire. The elements will be burned up, and everything that's in it is going to be gone. And you can either say it's going to be renovated or we're going to have a total new one. That doesn't matter to me. But the issue is the last part of chapter 3. It says, what manner of people ought we to be in our holy conversation and lifestyle, seeing that all these things are going to happen? What manner of people ought we to be? Your belief about the rapture, the tribulation, and the second coming, except for denying Scripture, is not going to affect much. Because you should be ready every hour, every minute of every day to go through whatever comes. If you're looking for a bailout, the rapture's not what you're looking for. And I'll tell you why in private sometime. But there's a demonic teaching that I want you to listen to, and I don't ever want you to accept it. And that is this. That death is redemptive. And you say, what are you talking about? We have the philosophy, because we don't ever want to say somebody's not in heaven, that we believe that any kind of death, whether it's suicide, car accidents, drink ourselves to death, shoot ourselves up to death, do whatever we want to do, eat ourselves to death. I mean, some people try to do that. I used to try to do that. We think that death is an automatic ticket to heaven. We think if someone dies, then they're redeemed. They've been purchased by God. God has taken them home to be a little flower in his flower pot in heaven. God took Mummy so that she could be a flower. God needed her more than I did. That's a pretty selfish God. Forgive me. God receives. God doesn't kill. In this age that we live right now. Don't ever, 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 ever accept the fact that death is redemptive. If I die and I don't know Christ before I die, I'm sure not going to know him afterwards in the relationship that I need with him. If I pull a trigger and blow my brains out, if I didn't know him before, I'm sure not going to know him afterwards. I know this is hard, but I want you to know truth. A life in Christ can only happen before death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the what? The judgment. No pastor, no priest, nobody doing this or nobody doing that can get someone to heaven who doesn't know Christ when they die. It's over. There's no second chances. Never have been and never will be. You don't want to miss God, friends. You don't want to play games with God. You don't want to come to a place where you close your eyes, or you know a friend that closes their eyes in death and they don't know him. God does not change his word to get me to heaven or anybody else. You say, Pastor, what's going on? I'm preparing you for this year. It's going to be a very interesting year. But there's a positive side of it, friends. An amazing positive side. When I walk in Christ, I don't have to listen to the news. I don't have to listen to the fear mongers. I don't have to listen to everything falling apart. God didn't fall off his throne, and God's not senile, and God hasn't forgotten where we are. I want to give you one more verse found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Chapter 1 and verse 3. I'm going to get it right yet. Don't let me confuse you. Fact is, let's read the first three of them, then you'll get the whole picture.
Good man. All right.
Where are we at?
Uh-oh, see, it doesn't have it. Thank you.
You better get a new one. God, who in various times, chapter 1 and verse 3, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. The prophets were sent to Israel. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Now listen to this. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ holds this world in place by his word, just like he made it. There's no fear. There's no fear. He upholds it. There's no nation going to destroy this world. You don't have to be worried about the madman in Iran or the nut over in Korea. We don't want them to experiment with their bombs, but they're not going to destroy the world. We have at least 1,007 years from today yet. So take a deep breath and say, we've been through tough times before. We've had situations that are tough. But God has never failed you. How many of you still have a job? How many have to go to work tomorrow? You still complaining or are you thanking God for it? Let me ask you a question. How many are complaining about their job or you just thank God? I got a job! I get to go to work! God's faithful. But I wanted you to know the truth of the Word of God. I tried not to put my opinion in there. I want you to know the truth. And listen. It's time, if we're not living totally for God, that we start. It's time that if there are situations in our life that shouldn't be there, they're done away with. It's like the other morning when the Lord put something on his finger on my life. I said, God, I don't want this. I don't want to act. I don't want to think this way. I don't want to act this way. Instead of blowing it off and saying, well, it's just okay. If it was serious enough for the Holy Spirit to speak to me about something, it's serious enough to take action. Amen? Let's do it.